Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. What is something that's overrated?
Man, I know some people are going to be upset at me for this, but man, reality competition shows, bruh. Reality competition shows are whack. Listen, I'm tired of seeing your Instagram stories of you and your friends watching Dancing with the Stars or American Idol or The Bachelor. I hate all of it. It's all stupid.
Woo!
It's all
the
terrible.
Fight wars around here.
Let's bring substance back to television.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you propose?
I want to say.
So if that's, what's the air that's breathing up all these reality competition
what's
shows?
What's the air?
Yeah,
they're
like
cheap.
No, but I'm saying, like, that's taking the space of something that you think is worthy of our
attention. I think for every one reality competition show, we should have two Atlantas.
Damn. Okay.
Like, we can have that, but let's bring some substance out, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that they're winning. I think these reality competition shows are getting us so close to, like, some Hunger Games type shit that we don't even realize it.
Oh, eventually, yeah. I mean, we're
they're dumbing us down.
Nearly doing the Running Man. The Running Man film will be a real life thing.
That's how we're going to pick the next president in 2020.
It's just like, yeah.
Just Running Man style.
Yeah.
Woo. God. I mean, yeah, I don't know if the president could even run, but that would be interesting.
I mean, somebody needs to test that theory that we've been talking about, that like he believes that he's good at sports and that he could like make a Major League Baseball team if he just tried out. Like,
yeah.
Somebody needs to
he's
be
not
like,
saying that
you
now.
You should make the next election a physical competition.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
like some American Gladiators type shit.
Yeah, I feel
remember
like he
show?
Might fall
oh, I
that
love
shit.
Gladiators, ready?
Yeah.
I'm
I
all
like
about
that
American
Gatling gun that they would have with the Nerf balls in it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a matter of time, you're saying, before that becomes
An actual gun.
Yeah, because like...
Who are just trying to get like healthcare.
I was watching Dancing with the Stars. And I was I watch people's Instagram stories every morning. I take a poop and I watch all of you guys' Instagram stories.
Thank you.
Good to know.
And I was watching somebody cheer the fuck on for Tonya Harding. And I was like, what is happening?
Right.
This is Tonya Harding. And you guys are going wild, being like, oh, look at her do this step. And I'm like, yo, okay. Like,
is there a reality show that you like, though? Like, reality competition show that you would?
There's one that I like,
everyone
and
has
it's so
shit,
trash.
Like, exactly. So this is my favorite thing about these kinds of sentiments, right? Is like, there's ones you don't like, but then there's the ones that you do like, and you probably don't.
It's on MTV. What's it called? Oh, man.
Are You the One?
Are You the One?
Yes!
What is
Yo,
Are
I'll
You
watch
the
that
One?
Shit,
okay,
too.
I'll explain it. I'll
oh,
explain
my God.
It. It's very simple.
It's ridiculous.
You get 10 guys and 10 girls, and you lock them in this house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go...
And then you don't feed them.
You're missing a few operative adjectives. 10 emotionally stunted men and 10 emotionally stunted women
who are
very desperate for a connection.
That's correct. And then what you do is you tell them that you've had like matchmakers and psychologists and love gurus. Guarantee them that within this house they have a perfect match. There are 10 perfect matches in this house. But there's only one way to find out, and it's to send someone into the truth booth, where you can only do it once a week. So here's what always happens. You're trying to get these 10 perfect matches so you guys can split $1 million. And what always happens is that first match that they send into the truth booth, everyone's just like, yo, these people are in love. We know it certainly. They're definitely in love. And they go into the truth booth, then they're 100% not a match.
Uh-huh.
But those two people are like, we really love each other, so we're not going to partake.
Fuck what the booth says.
Yeah. We're not going to partake in any of the competitions. We're not going to date anybody else. It's just going to be us. And the rest of the show is everybody else trying to convince that one pair not to be together anymore so they can find
because
the actual
perfect
matches.
At the end of every episode, what they do is like if they win a challenge, mm-hmm. they can send someone in the truth booth to begin like figuring out who's a match. And then at the end, they all have to go to this like ceremony where they all pair off together and sit down and then like –
submit like
on.
A list of pairs, yeah.
Yeah, lights go on to tell you how many matches you get.
But you don't know who they are.
Right.
So you're just like, oh, we got four right this week. We don't know who the pairs are. So you need to be mixing it up every week.
Right.
But that one fucking couple's just like, nah.
And it's just funny.
I love them. I love him. I'm not going to separate. I don't care about the money. And then everyone's like, yo, bitch,
yo,
you better be about the
money.
Right. Yeah.
It's crazy, too, because a lot of people, you see how they're like, how they really repeat their patterns. They're like, you know, I always date guys like this and I'm really worried about a lot. And then they just end up falling for them anyway and fucking.
How long are they locked in?
10 weeks.
Yeah, it's like a 10-episode show.
Oh, and each week is a episode
type
thing?
If you just basically want to, like, what it, for me, riveting. The thing I love about it for being in my early 30s now is, like, looking back and realizing the chaos that you have mentally of, like, trying to, like, you know, if you really want your match or what it means to date or how you even process. So you're like, oh, wow, like, I always date really shitty people or whatever. And how these people completely disregard that because they just feel like, well, my perfect match is here. So I'm just going to project that onto you.
It's a microcosm of dating in your 20s because truly, like, everyone around them is just like, yo, this person's trash.
Right.
And you're stepping in our way of success by dating this person, but they're like, I don't care.
I don't care what anyone says.
There's always one ugly person every season who knows that, like, it's going to be hard for them to find their match, and they're all about the money. Like, that's all they care about. So they're always the person being like, yo, let's get this money. Let's get this money because they know that.
But there is somebody else who has statistically or, you know, scientifically, like very loosely termed scientifically, been deemed to be the ugly person's match.
Yeah, everyone, every single person in the house,
worried that it's them.
Yes, everyone's avoiding that person and not trying to. Dog, it's so.
But then people come around too, you know, because then people are like, "Man, I really was actually feeling that person.
Yeah,
maybe I need to be honest with myself."
Remember that one time they added an 11th girl?
Yeah, that was a problem.
That was a very.
So see,
very, very dope
our reality competition shows up.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You just don't like
except for this one.
You know what overrated was? People putting Dancing with the Stars on their Instagram.
I want to apologize to Anna Hosney if I offended her by bringing up The Bachelor.
Oh yeah.
Hey, you know what? But you know you're overrated on this show isn't gonna stop her check from
our
coming
super
in.
Producer.
She's
a producer. Anna Hosney is.
You host. You produce a Bachelor podcast, right? What is it called?
It's called "Will You Accept This Rose?"
Okay,
and it's hosted by
Arda Marina.
Uh huh. Okay, so it's not on this network, but you know we show love anyway.
We took one step closer to being the dystopian timeline from Back to the Future 2, where Biff is president this morning. You know that's the timeline where. They based Biff's, like, the future version of Biff off of Donald Trump, like, all the way back in the 80s. They were like, this is what it would look like if Donald Trump was president.
They actually said that? Like,
People who worked on the movie said that was at least part of the inspiration for the Biff character because he built his empire by, you know, off of gambling. And Trump, at that point, was a casino owner. So some people have been pointing out, you know, similarities between that version of reality and ours now that they actually called it and that Biff is president. So in another thing come true from that world, the Supreme Court ruled today that states can determine if they want to allow gambling. So, you know.
We just got to make sure he doesn't find that almanac.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big win for New Jersey and most of my friends. But not, you know, bad day for Las Vegas, probably, presumably.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, supporters argue, this is just directly from the New York Times article on it. Supporters argue that legalization will produce revenue for the states and critically weaken illegal sports betting operations, which makes sense. It's like organized crime.
Yeah. Run. Shout out to my bookie, Lenny.
Right.
not paying you back now, motherfucker. What's good?
But people who are against it say that legalizing sports gambling will, you know, hook young people on gambling, which...
Man, young people are too broke to be fucking gambling.
Thank you.
Get the fuck out of here.
And I feel like fantasy sports already kind of does that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they monetize fantasy sports. And also they're worried that it'll encourage people of modest means to squander their savings and earnings and corrupt...
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely a worry because I know some people who have had gambling problems and that... Once gambler takes over your brain, like it did Marge Simpson, it's hard to come back. But when I look at this, though, too, is that a lot of people have been talking about how this is actually a good sign for the effort to have ICE, like, enforce their sort of deportation orders in sanctuary cities. Because it's sort of the same thing of, like, they're trying to conscript a lot of local police officers to actually enforce these immigration laws. And those are things that the states, they say, well, no, that's in our purview to actually determine whether or not we want to do this. So this ruling also would help, I guess, people who are worried about sort of like the invasion of ICE coming into cities to deport people. This is actually a pretty good signal that it'll be probably difficult to do that.
States' rights.
States' rights.
Yeah. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. They're also worried that it'll corrupt professional and college sports. But I mean.
Well, it's not like that's ever happened with soccer in Europe. Yeah. Wait. It has. So who knows?
Right.
But it's funny to think about, like, when it comes to, like, with this issue about what happens. Because I want to see this country burn down. You know what I mean? And I want to see it in weird, funny ways where it's just like online bet. Online bet. Do you gamble?
No, I don't.
Do you gamble?
No, it's against my religion. I worship the hawk. That's from Borat. No, I don't gamble.
Have you ever?
I mean, yeah. Oh, well, let's be real. I like to play dice here and there. I like to bet on sports occasionally.
Wait. Wait, let's. I know you want to keep time, but like, I find all of you very interesting. But he has sometimes he said these small things that, as a on the black part of me, is like, all right. You know what I mean? But the inquisitive side, the podcast, I'm like, what? What's going on? Like,
yeah, you know, play a little CeeLo. Why not?
Wait, you know what? You a Valley dude, but you got an Inglewood heart, man. You know what I mean?
Well, like, my family's all over the city.
Now, wait, have you shaken them up to the point where, like, someone tried to steal your money?
No. Because, like, everyone I played with never had that much money, and it were, like, you know, it was
I really
want to
hang out with you, bro. Your world is like BET and Vice comes together. You know what I'm saying? And it's like...
Yeah, last week I was talking about all the weird ecstasy hacks and shit I was doing. Yeah, who knows?
Have you played dice?
No, I haven't.
You got to shake them up sometime.
Yeah,
man.
We'll do a live CeeLo.
You got a
game.
Good corner right here.
Yeah, right there.
You got a good... No, for real. Because to play dice, you know, you got to have a good, solid corner. And I mean,
pull the carpet back a little bit because you don't want the dice to hit it.
Yeah, you can't have anything bouncing off it. Because when they hit the floor, they got to do a good roll. So there's the one dude that plays dice like, whoa, don't touch it. Wait, how did it bounce though? You know what I mean? Are these loaded? It's like a dude a little older than you. He owes everyone money. You know what he's trying to do? But yeah, when it comes to, it'll be interesting to think about like what happens with the story. Do you guys follow stories like this?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we should follow every story. But I mean, this is, you know, like anything, right? This is just the first shot that says, okay, well, we've seen now that the floodgates can open now for this kind of gambling. I think in a few months from now, we'll see who the real kind of stakeholders are and who really
bounce to benefit. You know what's funny? Who benefits from all these things, like with these weird, interesting new addictions, is like I had my old therapist, he broke down to me about how much him and his colleagues make about trying to find new ways to open up new groups and new focuses and whatnot. But even something like this, like he said, in a list, he's like, you know, what's funny is like what people, especially younger people, as people of a certain income, especially people who start making money but need to make more money, is that when it comes to stuff like the internet, finding ways, you know, people are internet addicted, so like more therapists. But he said gambling, but internet gambling. So I just kind of always wonder, it's not like they're the top of the people who finally profit from this, but I always wonder about like the one thing that we don't talk about is like trying to curb new addictions.
Right.
And this is so immediate, but it's hard.
That's why this could be interesting, because if you can just lose 10 grand on your phone from like placing bets because you're like, you know what, I'm gonna put another
and
like,
who
1,000
wins from
on
it?
An Exacta or whatever.
Who wins from that? People who repair cell phone screens. You know what I mean? Get stuck and throwing them at the walls. It's like...
So wanted to just give a quick update on Israel and the coverage of what happened yesterday. The New York Times was hailed for changing their headline. They changed it from Palestinian protesters killed as U.S. Embassy opens in Jerusalem. They changed it to Israel kills dozens at Gaza border, which referring to people who have been killed as dozens, it's like, I don't know what I was expecting them to like make it Baker's dozen of people killed by Israeli. They also, the New York Times is calling it rifle fire when it's sniper fire, like sniper rifles, which I don't know. That's just an important detail.
It's just a lot of, they're just
a lot of softening.
Yeah.
They're obscuring a lot of what is going on there.
And so I admitted something this morning I'm not proud of, but I knew Gaza Strip, West Bank. I had a sense that that was where the conflict between Palestinians and Israelis happened, but I had never really like gone and read like specifically what is the Gaza Strip, what is the West Bank, and like where are they in the country and how it works. So in case anybody's as stupid as me.
And you call yourself a journalist, Jack?
I don't. Oh. So.
And you call yourself a second-rate podcaster, Jack?
I do, yes.
Oh, okay.
I do. Thank
Go
you.
On.
So Gaza is on the West Coast. Their borders are completely controlled by Israeli forces, even on the ocean side. And they're basically being starved with an economic blockade. A guy named Norman Finkelstein, who is a leftish thinker who has pointed out that 97% of the water in the Gaza Strip is more poisonous than the water in Flint. So is why, and also Gaza is the most populated, most densely populated region in the world because so many of the people have been, you know, forced out off of their land and into that small strip of land. So that's just to give you a kind of some context on, you know, who is going towards the fence and being shot by Israeli snipers.
Oh, yo, where's Gal Gadot at? I don't know. I just don't understand. Like,
she's caping for the IDF, probably.
Yeah, but where are these like celebrity Zionists at who are like out here talking that talk? But when there's these clear, blatant, if this shit was happening in America, or I'll put it this way, and this might really get me into trouble, but if this shit was happening to a white woman, like, where the fuck would Gal Gadot be at? Like, you know what I'm saying? And like, it makes me so mad that we sit, like, they sit here and everyone's like talking about like these like anti-Semitism stuff and like trying to demonize the other side when we're literally watching people be slaughtered for just peacefully protesting. And I understand that some people might have gotten violent, but again, I've been listening to NPR in the car. And it sounded like these people were just like, yo, let's just demonstrate how hard it is over here.
Right.
And then again, and fucking sniped and shit like that.
Well, I mean, the conflict is pretty charged up that I can't say that it's like, you know, nonviolent in the sense that, like, it looks like what the marches look like in the civil rights where people just kind of do. I mean, there's a lot at stake for these people. So
absolutely,
it's hard for them to do anything but literally try and fight for their existence.
They're running towards a fence. So basically, Israel is trying to stop them from getting to the fence. As though if they get to the fence, they'll be able to like bust through and go directly into Israel. But there's like also another like thing they would have to get through, and then they could easily be arrested on the other side if they did make it through all of that. But we got some feedback from people who were saying that Israel should be allowed to defend itself and complaining about, you know, what happened yesterday is, you know, missing the point. But I don't know.
Defend themselves against what? I would directly ask one of those people to tell me, defend themselves against what? What do you think these people are coming over there to do?
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Where are the numbers about the number of injured IDF soldiers?
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that there are different sides of the story that are being given, and it's hard to get a completely unbiased take on anything. But the bottom line is there were over 60 Palestinians killed by sniper fire, and there were,
including a baby.
Right, including a baby, and zero deaths or even injuries among Israeli soldiers. So that's not a fair fight. That's not self-defense.
Yeah, it's
killing innocent people.
It's pure hatred. Because I was listening to an interview from the guy, and he was saying, like, basically my idea was, if there's a bunch of us, they can't stop all of us.
Right.
And when I was listening to that, I was like, this dude is talking about pure desperation at this point.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, yo, I'm trying to get us a win.
All right, we're going to bring in super producer Anna Hosnia here.
Hi. I just want to say that a lot of people don't understand that there is a serious buffer zone between the Palestinians and where the Israelis are. Palestinians are zero threat to any Israeli civilian. They're nowhere near them. The amount of... Yeah, like what Jack was saying, there's a fence, and then there's like three other fences. So you can't just hop over and be
It's not like home improvement,
right?
Or a threat to any Israeli civilian. And it's not how it works. There's a buffer zone, and I think people need to understand that a lot of these people are just civilian. They're like older women. They're older men. They're, you know, there's young people too, but they're not people that could actively go and harm any Israeli soldier. So I think there's a lot of blind spots in the media when it comes to that, is they're not really describing what's happening out there. They're just saying there's protests. You see a photo of people running around and smoke and stuff, and they're like, oh, it's crazy.
Oh, they're wilding out,
That's not the full story, and I think that's
serious. Well, I think hopefully what the media shift will begin to actually showcase, or rather illuminate for people, what the situation is for these people and why they are struggling to exist. Because I think we only look at it from one side in terms of saying, oh, these people were killed in protests and that's it. But it's not, why are these people protesting?
Yeah.
What is their life situation like?
Yeah.
What is their existence like? Are they being treated with dignity? Are they treated like human beings?
And well, I think here's what's going to happen. And I like that you brought up the civil rights movement earlier, which is like, I'm pretty sure back in the 60s when niggas was watching it on TV, there was like, well, of course the firefighters had to hose them down. They were coming at them. Or of course, and like, all those people now, and when I look at that shit now, and, you know, my white classmates are all like, oh, well, you know, if I was there, I would have been upset and stuff like that. But it's happening now, and we're getting that side now, and we're doing the same justifications in our head now of like, well, the Israelis have to protect themselves. And 40 years from now, our kids and our grandkids are going to read all that shit and go, how could
like,
they
do
something?
Like,
yeah, why did they do that? Why did they sniper rifle them and stuff like that? And it's the same exact shit. We're justifying the same exact shit.
Right. If you just read quotes from Israeli forces, if you read quotes from, we've spoken anecdotally about friends who have gone to Israel for a little while and then come back, and it's clear that there is an ideology in Israel, in parts of Israel, in certain groups in Israel, that doesn't view Palestinian people as human beings. And you, like, you can hear it.
Yeah,
the
othering is very severe and, you know, it's dehumanizing.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And only a culture that doesn't view people as human would be able to justify, you know,
I mean, the only other culture that,
60.
Yeah, that's like, oh, the U.S. too.
Right.
With people of color.
Right.
So, you know, it's everywhere. You know what I mean? And so I think, God, this is all about, are we willing to look at people with dignity, or are we othering people so much that it's easy to perpetrate this kind of shit against
them?
Yeah. And I also do want to remind everyone that these protests have been going on for weeks.
Yeah.
As part of the Great March of Return, versus a lot of people are being like, oh, they're just mad because the embassy opened.
Right.
It's like, no, they've been out here protesting.
For years.
For basically since 1946.
Right.
Being like, you took our home away. So
in the past handful of weeks, 40 protesters have been killed by sniper fire from the Israeli soldiers, or over 40. So that is something that is fairly, I mean, it's not recent in the sense that there's been Israeli forces, you know, mistreating Palestinian people, but those protesters have been being shot for weeks.
Yeah. Also, there's no real excuse for live fire in this situation under any circumstance.
No.
Because you could have easily used a rubber bullet, knocked someone down, and killed no one.
Or just a lot
just
of
anything.
Tear gas, whatever.
Yeah, anything.
Any other way to
you
disperse
people.
You
don't need to kill anybody, ever.
Right. Yeah. With sniper fire being the most impersonal, like, just completely removed. So you can't even say, like, oh, they panicked because they were, like, down there in riot gear and, like, the people were coming at them. No, they were sitting up in a sniper's nest taking people out. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And we're back.
Fucking trash.
Yeah. Speaking of dehumanizing people in these United States of America.
Yeah.
So, as
not to mention they're like redlining welfare for people in states like Michigan and shit. They're like, oh, if you live in the rural part, you don't have to work because that's mostly white. But if you're in the urban center, well, you better have a job if you want these fucking benefits. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, so we've talked about how, you know, the idea of uniting all poor people behind a campaign for, you know, equality was Martin Luther King Jr.'s, like,
last
great movement and was wildly unpopular and at the time. And then he was assassinated in the middle of that movement. He was in Memphis for a labor strike. And so there's a guy named Reverend William Barber who is sort of picking that fight up and organizing a large-scale, long-term poor people's campaign that is expected to last 6 weeks in 35 different states. And it started yesterday, and the Reverend William Barber, who is, you know, in his 50s and is disabled, like his legs don't work that well, he has ankle problems, was arrested and put in jail for, I guess, blocking traffic.
Yeah. Well, because yesterday there were, I think, demonstrations, like it says, in like 7 states, including D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, again, there's nothing more dangerous to this existing power structure we have in most of the world. When you have the poor and downtrodden folk in masses realize who the actual people are that are keeping them down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's easy to divide people along race lines or along religious lines or whatever. And then
gender lines.
Yeah, whatever it is. But the second you put everybody together, it's like, holy shit. That's a very, very it's frightening to, again, the existing powers that be. And, you know, they're really trying to, again, with this poor people's movement, they're focusing on real, like, real issues that affect all people that are completely nonpartisan, like in the purest form, you know, like whether it's just focusing on like poverty for children, women, lack of access to healthcare or
education,
basic civil rights and things like that.
Right. People not housing. Starving to death.
Yeah. These are like real issues that have nothing to do with partisan politics. And that's what is freaky because that resonates with anybody. Right. You know what I mean? You don't have to be you can be starving and a Democrat, or you can be starving and a Republican. Mm-hmm. And it really does not matter. So again, I think this is something, you know, we've talked about, and I really urge people to learn up about this, because I mean, it's like one of the nice bright spots in terms of the kind of advocacy that's occurring around the country.
May I break it down for stupid people?
Yeah.
I had a friend in high school named and my man was slanging his dick everywhere in high school. Okay.
Gigolo?
Getting it. Oh, I mean, not a gigolo. He just had game.
Okay.
He had colored eyes. You know what I'm saying? There's always that one nigga who's just like, man, if you didn't have these, if you ain't have these colored eyes, you'd be a regular ass nigga.
Yeah. I see you, Eric Sermon.
Yeah. But all right. So he was slanging it. And what he would do was he would be slanging it with mad girls who were all in our school, and he would work effortlessly. Like, just like so much to make sure that they never, ever liked each other. So he would always be like, hey, yo, like, he said this shit about you. And, this shit about you. Hey, yo, these were these girls. And why he was doing that was because he knew if they ever all hung out, they would find out that he was fucking all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on here.
Thank you. Who are we?
We are your
I'm
Jack, you got a real and I don't want to tell you what happens to but you got a real vibe.
Right.
I'll tell you, it'll hurt your feelings.
Okay. What happened to
man, I can't believe I'm using these real names. We're going to bleep this.
Yeah, never mind. Let's move on.
No, I'll tell you what happens at the end. She was one who's played the most, you know, and then in the end she just ended up marrying him. So.
Oh.
Nice.
But she ain't know the whole time she was being played. Everybody else knew.
I won.
You know what I mean? And that's what these white, like this 1%, this power structure is doing to us, is they're playing all of us. And what they do is they
it's not us, it's the immigrants.
Yeah, it's not us.
It's not us, it's Muslims.
You know why you're not getting jobs, white men? Because black people are taking them through affirmative action.
Because Black Panther came out.
Yeah, exactly. And then they make black men fight black women. They make everyone's fighting each other, and we're not realizing that this power structure is winning.
Boom.
And gets it in every night.
I'm glad you have a nice way to tie it all together for every instance.
Listen, I should have been an educator, but the problem is my metaphors would get me in trouble.
Right. You would use metaphors about the people in the classroom.
Exactly.
Like, look, we all know that it's fucking everybody in
here.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa. How do you know that, Mr. Mumples? Look, I know.
Right.
Okay? Now, who's going to fight right now?
So you know how Ricky always be stinking all the time? Y'all know how Ricky always be stinking?
teachers really do gossip about that shit. We interviewed a bunch of teachers back at Cracked for a thing we were doing, and they were like, yeah, we gossip so much about the students.
Of course.
It's like pathetic.
Because, yeah, you realize, like, when that's your day job, it's almost like the kids are your coworkers,
right,
too.
Right, right.
Which is fucking absurd to think about.
But it's true.
But, yeah, high school students, you think your teachers don't know that you were, like, out getting fucked up this weekend? They know.
They know. And they talk
shit.
They
have, like, snitches. Yeah.
Oh, man, we had an epic. I remember my high school, we thought there was a narc because, like, the dean found out about a party and, like, sat my entire class and, like, we know.
Did you go to a boarding academy?
Nah, just a Catholic high school.
Oh, okay.
And everyone, like, we were obsessed with this idea of who the narc was. And it was like just this complete, it was like the fucking, what's that M. Night Shyamalan movie? Like The Village kind of shit, where like we were just sort of like fearing a thing that did not exist that we had self-created. I don't know if that's it sounds like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, that is what happens.
Yeah.
And it keeps them in that
thing. And it keeps us in the thing. We're like, oh shit, who the narc? And like we were devising the craziest ways to party. Like
that's how my dad would punish us. He would come in and be like, I know what you did.
Right.
And then we'd be like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
How'd the teacher find out?
We don't know. I think it was
Oh, shit. Damn. So it was a narc.
I don't know. That's who we suspected, and then he got excommunicated from.
Was he always rolling around dressed up like a wolf?
Nah, he got in trouble for like having like he got in trouble for bringing weed or some shit to school, and then so then
they
we were
had
like,
him. They yeah, were
that,
like, yo.
In our mind, we were like, you see, they already got that shit on him.
Right.
So the way
right.
he's gonna get out of it, like it was like a fucking RICO case or some shit.
Right.
It's a good movie. I think it's a good movie.
The Village?
I think it's a good movie. It's just
it's
weird.
It's solid. I think people. I think it hit people at a time when they were just like. Tired of his twist endings.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a better twist ending than fucking Signs.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought Signs gets a pass because it's just like where it fell in his career, and then right. The Village gets hated on, I think, too much. I agree
yeah,
with you.
But it's the message behind it is so solid.
Yeah. No, for sure.
I met somebody who passed out in the theater watching Signs because it was too intense for them.
Yo, that movie's so stupid.
And I will never respect that person.
Yeah, that movie's dumb.
And it was the part where the alien walks by behind the camera in the birthday party.
Yo, shout out to my boy.
The person literally, they said they seized up, like not had a seizure, but just like tensed up and then just passed out. And they had to stop the fucking movie so the paramedics could take this person out who couldn't handle an alien walking by in a home video of a birthday party.
Oh, man. Shout out to my boy Dean Dobbs, who I met. Very, very dope YouTuber. I met him at the Sundance Institute. We met because everyone was introducing themselves, and he said, I saw the movie Signs, and I wanted to make movies, and I busted out laughing because that was the dumbest thing I ever heard. But I respect Dean. I think he's so dope, Dean. But when you said that shit, I was like,
I need to watch that movie again because apparently it's inspiring a generation of filmmakers.
Isn't that?
And if I don't appreciate it, then like I'm just like not gonna get movies for the next 20
right.
years.
Dean Dobbs is
and be
dope
like, yo,
too.
What is this? And it's all informed with, like, by the aesthetic of Signs.
It starts off with homeboy's wife getting crushed, right?
Like no, car? It ends with that. That's like a reveal towards the end.
Oh,
you think it starts out like that because that's how Scary Movie 4 starts out.
Right.
It's the scene where he's just like, promise me you won't
that's
have sex.
Right.
And he's just like, move the car. Move the car.
That's a bad look when I'm conflating Scary Movie 4 with Signs.
I mean, it is. They're stealing that scene from Signs.
Well, of course.
Like,
yeah, it's like.
Those thieves.
Scream 2, I never remember the scene in Scream 2 where the knife goes through the person's ear because they put it up to the glory hole because of the scene where the dick goes through.
Oh, the guy's ear.
Is it Sean or Marlon?
I think it's Sean. I think
so. The Wayans brothers.
Shout out to the Wayans brothers.
Except for
Damon.
That's
where I thought that story was going to end.
Except for Damon Wayans. He's deep in that shit right now. Have y'all go Google Damon Wayans when you guys are done with this and see what's happening to him right now. He's getting roasted on Twitter.
Why? For the Lethal Weapon shit?
Yeah.
Because he talked shit about that one dude?
Everyone is blaming him.
For what? The guy getting fired?
Yeah. They all think it's Damon Wayans' fault. And niggas is just like, of course you do this. Oh, you're such a crybaby diva. Of course, the black guy would ruin this. He is getting destroyed.
By the right wing or who?
I don't know. I guess niggas really like that show Lethal Weapon and they like that dude, which is so confusing because when I watched the show, I watched it because of Damon Wayans.
Yeah.
I don't know who the fuck that dude is.
Right. Well, now they got Sean William Scott or whatever, right?
And people are so mad. They're like, I'm telling you, go on Damon Wayans' Twitter right now. Because he was trying to like release videos of like, what happened was they let that dude direct an episode. And then Damon Wayans got injured in the process and was really upset about it because people had told him, hey, don't do this and stuff like that. But the guy still was just like, no, I want to do this certain special effect. And it like cut into Damon Wayans' head.
Oh, no, not
like
that
sharp
beautiful bald head.
Yeah.
The other kind of story of the moment when it comes to politics is that we're going to have to put that Trump Nobel Peace Prize just on hold momentarily. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but there just is. It's looking like the North Korea talks might be in danger. Stalling out a little bit. And this is actually how I know that I'm not a true partisan, because when I heard this, I wasn't like, I'm not rooting against this. Like, I actually like felt my stomach sort of turn when I was like, ah, fuck, they're fucking this up this morning, because I don't know. Like, I don't want North Korea to be holding a nuclear weapon pointed at my family and me all the time. So basically, North Korea is threatening to reconsider peace talks if the U.S. and South Korea don't knock off their military exercises, because we'd already, I guess, done some naval exercises in April, and apparently some other things that are pissing them off. Kim Jong-un doesn't like the fact that Trump is saying the meeting is straight up about denuclearization, like he did at the, you know, hostage release celebration greeting event.
So bizarre.
Directed by Michael Bay. And he got out a little bit over his skis. Like, you could tell that he'd already converted these North Korea talks into, like, campaign talking points.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, you know, we're going to get denuclearization. And, you know, he totally forgot that Kim Jong-un was listening, because Kim Jong-un was like, all right, man, let's not spike the football just yet. We're not totally on board with that. And around the same time, John Bolton, our new head of...
Who literally looks like a fucking Muppet.
Right. Said basically the worst thing he possibly could have.
Right.
He said...
Don't say Libya.
Right.
Libya.
Exactly. He said that we're planning to use the Libya model in conversations with North Korea, which is basically evoking Kim Jong-un's number one fear about the talks, because Libya denuclearized and... You know, not too long after that, their dictator was brutally murdered in the streets by, like, mobs. So the one reason that he has, like, raised, like, the idea that he would never take his nuclear weapons off the table.
Look what happens when you do.
Right. Is look what happened to Libya. And fucking Bolton just straight
just
up
says it. It's crazy, too, because Kim Jong-un, I think he took power like the day after Gaddafi was killed.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, his first day in the job, he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And yeah, like, everyone was saying, don't say Libya. It's so easy. But again, they are just so thirsty for a fucking win.
So fucking thirsty. Can you wait until the shit is signed? Can you wait until the deal is brokered?
But, you know, but I think people were a little naive, and everyone, right, myself included, to sort of just immediately jump to the conclusion, because Trump was like, oh, he's really open to do something. He's really going to do something here. And to know that his nuclear arsenal is his only bargaining chip in this thing. So he cannot give that up just like that without getting anything back. So I don't know. I mean, Trump is a deal master. So I guess we'll just wait and see. Oh, wait, he caved to China on the fucking ZTE deal, the telecoms deal, or not the deal, but rather the punishing them. And then maybe, who knows, if Kim Jong-un is like, you know what, let me see what I can get out of this dude now, too.
Yeah.
But this follows a pattern with North Korea of being like, yeah, we're down. And then the talks break down or collapse.
Yeah. Now that I'm totally bummed out about the prospect of them falling apart, I'm realizing I'm becoming very pessimistic about the likeliness that they succeed, because we're basically counting on two, like, overly sensitive and capricious pathological narcissists not to offend each other,
right?
Like, before, in the lead up, or during this meeting. And I don't know. North Korea, it seemed like they were just like, you know, eyes on the prize. They were focused on doing this meeting and accomplishing whatever South Korea had convinced them to accomplish. But now that they've sort of wobbled a little bit, I feel much less optimistic about where this is headed.
I won't lie, I had a little bit of hope.
You know, I did too.
When you get two crazies together like that, for all you know, they speak the same language.
Yeah.
You can't be sane trying to talk to a crazy person. But if you both crazy, y'all get in there and it's like, you know,
right.
Like, we on the same page.
Right.
I just wish that everything didn't have to, like, I do appreciate the government being transparent, but it's like with Trump, it's like, one, he's always lying to us, so it's not transparency.
Yeah.
It's like, so just hold off.
Yeah.
Like, just
a
second.
He just likes to make it look things much better than they are. But, you know, it's not totally dead in the water, but it's just, it's just, I think what it is, just a reality check. They're like, yo, hold the fuck up, bro. Don't go being like, hey, they're going to fully denuclearize and we're going to give them nothing back. Because that was their main thing, is that, like, if these talks are just for you to come to Singapore and be like, come up off your nuclear weapons and that's it, they're like, no, we're not doing that. And so I think, you know, obviously he's trying to set himself up, Kim Jong-un, to be like, okay, we are going to have to work on shit.
Yeah.
There will have to be concessions made for this to be a reasonable negotiation. But, you know, we'll see.
Pompeo is dangling the idea that once they denuclearize, American businesses will pour in and invest in, you know, North Korean infrastructure. And, you know, North Korea, when you look at the globe from space at night, like, all the other countries are lit up and North Korea is just completely dark. There's a lot of infrastructure to add to that country and a lot of money to be made. So Pompeo was saying that you're going to see a lot of American businesses if we open up trade with North Korea and if they are willing to denuclearize. So that's a bargaining chip we have. But I mean, yeah, it's also a bargaining chip that we had with Iran. And you didn't see a ton of American business pour in there
the
because
McDonald's
it seemed like
Iran after that.
Yeah,
no, we did. Definitely not.
It seemed like who knew what was going to happen with the nuclear deal. And now we've shown that we back out of those. So you said that there is a meaning behind your AKA, the Paul Gonzalez thing.
This is not a scam.
No, Paul Gonzalez is a scammer. And maybe this will help people in the Southern California area. But this is a man who's on dating apps who is going on first dates with women and then
the skipping
out
dude?
A bill. Yeah.
The Dine and Dash dater? That's Paul Gonzalez?
Yes. Oh, okay. Paul Gonzalez is the Dine and Dash dater. He is going out here and taking women on first dates, and then he is leaving before the check comes.
It's usually the thing is, they show up, he's like, oh, I came here early and I already ate, but I'm down to eat again. And so the waiter will come. They'll order the thing, and then he'll bone out with leaving her like with the fucking check while he's had a whole steak dinner.
And wow. It's the first date, so you don't know this person, right. And he's meeting these women on apps. Yeah. And like,
go on Desus and Mero's YouTube channel because they've talked about it a couple of times. It's hilarious because like one of the recent times, one of the managers of the restaurant recognized him as the diner.
And then kicked him out and then comped this woman's meal because he was like, it's okay, queen. Like,
yeah, I'm sorry about him.
But listen, that's a dope scam. I don't want to encourage men to do that because look, when women go on dates, like you do need to pick that check up. And then if you want to do half, that's cool, but you're never going to see me again.
Wow.
But no, we're not going half on the first date. I'm a queen. You need to go ahead and pick that up. You can't afford me. And if you date somebody who can't, if you both broke, it's cool because then y'all both broke. But if one of you's not broke and the other one is, then you make the other person broke because then y'all start borrowing
lift
money.
Them up.
Yeah,
all boats
yeah,
rise.
Exactly. And then but you sink a little bit because you was higher. But all I'm saying is like that's a great scam. My man's just out here really dining.
The
and dining
dash dater.
They've made articles about him. Women are pissed.
Yeah, what's bullshit?
If you Google him, you can see his face. He's like moderately attractive.
He looks. I think he lives with his mom too, or something. Or he's like running. He like lived around the corner with his mom. There's many dimensions to it.
He'd be like, "Hey, queen, let's go out to
thick eyebrows.
Mastro Steakhouse tonight." But think about it. If you a woman and you probably, I mean, if you live in LA, shit, we'd be out here just rolling the dice with dudes. You'd be like, "Well, why not, Paul? I mean, shit."
Right. He's like, "Oh, I want to meet you at Crustacean."
Right. Boom, he's like, "I want to meet you at Mastro's, queen." You'd be like, exactly. "Ooh, okay."
Oh, you like the sides there?
His top line: looking to stop looking.
Oh shit! That's a scam.
kind of guy you could get serious with.
Disarming you like that? Yeah. Looking to stop looking.
Yo, that's good.
For my wallet, because that's what my.
That's what
oh shit!
For.
I forgot my wallet. My favorite first. Well, you know,
you gonna be looking for me.
I've done that before. You know, on a date, you forgot your wallet. You go.
Oh, you lost your. You
the
forgot
check
your wallet.
You go, oh shit!
Yep.
Can't believe I forgot my wallet.
Well, you can't say oh shit like that, Miles. You said oh shit before you even started patting your pockets. Yeah, well, I can see you. That's not good.
The devil knows their own. Lisa.
You have done that, like on purpose.
Hey, why am I on trial?
Because you just said you did it.
I don't know. Look, it's a comedy show. That's a bit.
That's not a bit, guys. Miles luckily
Miles
has a girlfriend.
Has some good scams. You got the.
Hey, people don't. Okay, don't put me out there like that. You know, people think I'm a good
guy.
I won't
tell about the wallet. Where you go? Hey, what is that?
I'm also mad at. Paul, man, that's my scam.
Right.
Well, for that was supposed to be for women. I mean, look, I guess some people are out there going Dutch. That's good for y'all.
No, women need to start doing that.
Hell
now.
No.
Just go.
Absolutely
fuck.
Not.
No, just scam them.
I showed up to the day. You don't have to wear makeup. You know how much makeup costs? Okay.
I know how much it costs.
I paid already.
I know a lot of dudes who feel like they have girls that they're seeing on these apps who are just using them for free meals. Mm-hmm. Like.
For
that's
sure.
Like a,
that was someone I dated someone in college
problem.
Like that. I dated this volleyball player. Oh my God. I was like, I loved her. And she would only hit me up to eat.
Yeah.
It was always, she would be like, oh, what's up? I'm like, oh, yeah. Hey, you want a cake? She's like, yeah, I'm hungry. You hungry?
What?
And I'm like, yeah. And then we're always eating. And then I remember one time I was like, I brought it up. I was like, why do we always eat? Like when we're doing this, she got so defensive.
Really?
And I was like, that's when I realized.
I don't
like,
know. Why
damn.
Do you always eat?
Yeah. And I was like,
well, guys,
know.
If you want to know the chicks into you, like, I don't know, take the bitch to the park. Go walk on the beach. That's cute. I'm not going to the beach with you on the first day. You're not drowning me. But
she got
can,
her meals.
We can go to a park during the daytime
she
if I like
so
you.
Much Baja Fresh off of me. My
damn.
God.
Dubai hot. That's not bad. It's like $15.
Well, when you're in college, you work at the Coach store, and you're slinging bags on the side to get a Brookstone sound machine. You don't have the money back in at that point.
Listen, to the steakhouse.
I've sat through some pretty rough dates because I was like, oh, food.
We'll be right back. And we're back. Now we're going to get on to something that is currently blowing the minds of everybody in our office.
And the internet.
It is the Laurel or Yanni debate. So let's just hear it. Let's just get right into it. Let's hear this piece of audio.
And everyone tell us, or don't tell us, because we can't talk to you. This is a one-way medium. But you hearing Laurel or Yanni?
Laurel.
Okay, now it's Laurel again. Mm-hmm.
Laurel.
Okay, what do you hear, Lacey?
What do I hear?
Laurel or Yanni?
Oh, y'all don't hear that little lady in the back like, help! No, y'all don't hear that?
We have established that Lacey has insane super hearing. Like, we were playing this high-pitched thing in our old studio that only people who are like under a certain age are supposed to be able to hear because their ears haven't just been completely fucked yet. And Lacey was the only person who was able to hear it.
You had like the full frequency range of like
I protect these little drums.
Yeah. Right. So as the
wait,
person
for real
who
though.
Oh yeah, but for
real
though. But what I really
heard. You flex on people with your hearing.
I heard Laurel.
You heard Laurel, right?
Yeah.
I hear Laurel.
I heard Laurel all day yesterday. I heard Laurel when we just listened to it there. But all morning this morning, I heard a version of it that sounded like Yanni and started hearing Yanni, and I hadn't been able to hear Laurel again until just then. So
no, you didn't hear that. I was watching a rerun of Jersey Shore where Snooki was like, Yanni!
Right, yeah, it was like... but this is basically when that dress thing happened where like some people saw it as black and blue and some people saw it as white and gold. What did you see?
So now I got to keep listening to this like a sociopath or something, because when I saw the blue dress, I first saw it as a blue dress. And then I started looking at that shit just forever. And then it was white to me. And I could go back and forth. So now I need to listen to this until it's Yanni because I need to be enlightened.
Right. You open your third eye, Ma.
Yeah, so I don't...
Oh, it sounds like Yanni.
Laurel.
Nah,
For a second, I heard Yanni.
Laurel.
No, did you change that, Nick?
What you doing, Nick?
No,
what
because
you doing
we,
in there, Nick?
The first time you played it, it sounded like Yanni.
Yeah.
I think what happened is because Lacey was saying something, it
distorted
sort of disrupted my hearing for a second that I hear it. So aren't they saying that it's a combination of like Yanni is in there too, but it's at a higher frequency or something?
But you can't hear them both at the same time. And when you're hearing one, you like can't hear the other. It's crazy because when I was hearing Yanni earlier, I couldn't hear Laurel at all.
You could only hear Yanni.
I could only hear Yanni. And now I can only hear Laurel.
So it's like an auditory illusion.
Kind yeah,
like those ones where it's like where you see like those like on a electric sign where it looks like something's spinning and you can't tell which direction it's spinning in.
Have we been in the room with people who are hearing different things but they're in the same room?
Yes, yesterday Caitlin Durante and Jamie Loftus were in here, and Caitlin Durante heard Yanni.
Yeah,
and Jamie Loftus heard Laurel,
and we were all hearing Laurel. And then just now in Nick's booth, I was hearing Yanni, and everybody else was hearing Laurel.
Okay, because I was about to say, maybe they're just fucking with us and it's like playing one or the other.
It's crazy. So when the dress thing happened, there were like these articles saying it was all about how our visual cortex interacts with the light reflecting off surfaces in our visual frame. There was like this Wire article where they were saying our visual system is supposed to throw away information, but I've studied individual differences in color vision for 30 years. And I just never really bought that it was like a color specific thing, and now I think I'm vindicated. I think this is proof that it's not just colors, it's basically how our senses interact with our brain. There's this book Incognito by David Eagleman that is one of my favorite nonfiction books that everybody should read, but he talks about how there are way more nerves traveling from our brain to our eyes in that direction than from our eyes to our brain. So in other words, we see with our eyes, but we also, to a large degree, see with our memory. Like our memory fills in a lot of our visual field with just what it knows is there based on what you've seen
just
in the past.
And things,
yeah,
right.
In context. So if that's true, and if that applies to all of our you know, sensory perception organs, then, you know, you're bringing so much of your memory and your personal experience to everything you hear that it is going to be totally different to different people, basically. And I think, like, I don't know, think about how completely different it sounds when you hear a song for the first time to, like, when you hear it for the seventh time and you absolutely love it to when you hear it for the 100th time and you're just like, ugh, I'm so tired of this song. It's like, right. It sounds like a different song. And I don't know. I feel like that's partially what's happening with how this is hitting our brains.
I don't think I'm ever going to hear Yanni. I think if I do, I'm going to have to like bring the audio tracking to Logic and start like fucking with the speed of it or something. Because that's what... Like, what's crazy is that this thing has, even like Mother Jones is writing about it and shit. And like, they have like, they were linking to tweets where someone was pitching it up and down in different directions and different quantities or whatever. And they're saying like, you can hear Yanni at certain levels. But honestly, I'm Team Laurel. So
I've been both, man. I've been to the other side.
Oh, shit.
I've seen it.
I just want to get from the other side.
That's why I want to go. I want to make sure my chakras are aligned. I got to hear them both.
Yeah. Do some EFT before. Make sure all your meridians is moving right.
Yeah. So super producer Nick Stump was just asking if there is like a definitive answer for what is actually being said in the same way that once you saw the dress.
You knew it was
like,
blue.
Yeah, it was blue and black, like we always said, and all those other people were crazy.
There is only one answer. It is Laurel.
Oh, okay.
Then I'm just saying that because my ego can't handle anything else.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
All right. Well, I guess super producer Nick Stumpf just ruined it for us and found out that it's from vocabulary.com. When you type in the word Laurel and have it speech it back to you, the text speech, it says Laurel. And obviously, there's not going to be no Yanni because that's a name. Of one of the greatest vocalists of our time.
Mm-hmm. I don't buy it.
All right. Well, we don't have to. You know what I mean? Fake news. Fake news.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.